watch the game and take pictures of the sunset. That was more entertaining than watching the product that the Rockies and Dick Monfort and Jeff Bredich put out. What's up, everybody? It's your host, Dylan Ryan, with Frosty Talks, episode 28. Another electric week in the NHL is behind us, and more to come still. And we got the Super Bowl coming up this week. It's an awesome week in sports, unless you're a Rockies fan. We'll get to it all. It's going to be a great episode. So without further ado, let's roll into it. We'll start off in the NHL. Well, Tony DeAngelo has been waived from the New York Rangers after playing just 7 games with the team. He got signed in the summer for 2 years, $5.5 million a year. Wild to see him already gone from that team. Honestly, it was wild to see him get signed there in the first place. I mean, all the other issues aside, and that'll be brought up, the guy is still, he gets undressed consistently defensively. But when it comes to being a offensive moving, like puck moving defenseman and snapping it tape to tape to open up lanes for his forwards, like, the dude's pretty good. Like, you can't deny it. Now, the production wasn't there this season at all, 7 games, but apparently the dude was on thin ice from the absolute get-go. And I mean, I can't blame the Rangers. From all the stories that everyone has told about him throughout his entire career, all the way back to juniors, back from when he was drafted by the Lightning. 4 years ago now? Doesn't matter. When he was only there for a year with the Lightning, where he gets shipped off to Arizona. Arizona wouldn't even deal with his bum ass over out there. And they didn't keep him around for more than a year and a half, if that, less than that. So he's on his third team in, 4 years in the league. He's a first-round pick. That's not good. Like, that's not good, and that clearly shows that he's insubordinate in the locker room, the way he acts. And based off of the reasoning of why he was cut and waived from the team, the GM said he's played his last game as a Ranger. Tony DeAngelo has. And it's not shocking. Apparently what happened, it was a post game of a Rangers-Penguins game, overtime. DeAngelo's out there. He gets left on the ice because Georgiev, their goaltender, misplays the puck. He's gassed. He's stuck out there the entire time, DeAngelo. And he ends up screening his own goalie a bit and lets in a goal. And it lets in a goal on Georgiev from Sidney Crosby, by the way. Keep this in mind. So, Tony DeAngelo, pissed about losing a game. Understandably, no one likes losing. But the guy keeps going and chirping his goaltender about letting in a goal in overtime, when in reality, it was a pure miscommunication by the both of them. And you don't chirp the goalie. That's the guy that's your last line of defense. That's the guy you need to have your back as a teammate. You don't chirp the goalie. And you especially don't get into fucking fights with him like DeAngelo did. It doesn't matter how talented you are as a player. If you're a complete asshole like Tony DeAngelo seems to be, well, you're not going to keep getting chances. And you're not going to keep getting to be on the team. It's a privilege to be in the NHL and to play there. And, well, DeAngelo's not taking it seriously. The guy's 25 years old. You think by now he would learn, you know, that you can't just be a dick like this. And, you know, I've never met the guy, so I'm not going to completely go and make up, like, falsehoods or anything like that. Because some other publishers have... they posted some stuff that they thought was true, wanted it to be true, believed it to be true, and they posted it as if it was. Apparently it was not, so we're not even going to get into that. Now, D'Angelo's thrown onto waivers, and Monday, so yesterday, he clears waivers, like not even shockingly. Well, now, his agent said, we expect to see a trade in the near future. Now, honestly, that can mean anything. That could be a couple of days from now. That could be a couple of months from now. Hell, that could be that could be next season. Or, honestly, it could be never again. Based off of the amount of failed chances this guy has gotten, I don't know if he really deserves another one. But, you know, as long as it's not my team, I don't really think he's... It seems like he's bad for the locker room, even though some teammates say like he's great for it. But, I mean, when the GM gives you one last shot and you can't handle being scratched and then you act like an insubordinate little ass, it screams bad for the locker room on D'Angelo. Now... like I said, his agent is saying, yeah, we're expecting a trade. Like, trade rumors are heating up. It's looking good. I don't care what Dreger says. Like, I trust his knowledge of the league and what's going on in it. I can't imagine a team is going to be trading for Tony D'Angelo when they could have just picked him up on waivers for nothing but his contract. And maybe it's the fact that the cap was a locked cap. It didn't increase at all. And teams are freaking out on what they can do, like how they can fit in with that. And maybe that's why some team's going to trade for him. Maybe they're going to give the Rangers like a sixth-round pick. The Rangers got to keep like half of his salary. And the next team just waives it because they just need to figure out a way to be cap compliant. Who knows? I think there's going to be a little bit of black magic if a trade on this happens. Like, I can't see him sticking around with a team. And the GM said he's not, like, he's on the taxi squad, but he's not to interact with anyone on the taxi squad.
Allegedly.
But if he's not allowed, if D'Angelo's not even allowed near the Rangers team, then I don't think he should be around any team. I don't think he should be in the league at that point. If he's so bad for a locker room culture that he can't even be on the taxi squad, get out of here. He's got to go. He's eating too much gabagool and mozzarella. Now, D'Angelo's, I personally, looking at it, I think the writing's on the wall. The dude's, if he does get another chance, he's not going to even remotely... And if he fucks up, he's not ever going to see the NHL again if he screws up again. And it's not, it's a lot. D'Angelo's stuff is wild. There's just so much with him. It's nuts. The fact that he was still drafted first, it's a lot. Moving on with that and everything. The other big NHL news, Penguins GM Jim Rutherford stepped down. He's no longer the GM of the Penguins. I mean, that just came out of the blue. Now, it's thought that he wasn't entirely meshing anymore with the people around him. He had, the assistant GM was let go after the disappointing boot from the bubble last year. There's rumors that a bunch of trades that Rutherford was trying to get done to keep the Pens competitive or make them even more competitive just or keep getting vetoed. And because it's not right now, he's not getting he didn't say he stepped down from health. So if he's not stepping down because of health during a pandemic, and he also has already said he wants to look into GMing again next year, it had to be something within the organization. Like, that's the only other logical place, right? And I don't know who he wanted to trade, and that got vetoed, but, I mean, there's a couple of players on that Pens team. You know, the one that undressed Tony D'Angelo. Sidney Crosby. I knew there was a loop in there somewhere. There was a tie-in. Sidney Crosby might have been potentially on the trading block with Rutherford, and who knows? I mean, that's just a thought. It's a rumor, not even a rumor. Maybe I'm, who knows? But maybe I'm connecting dots that aren't there. But it's still shocking to see Rutherford step down from the Pens GM position when they're just starting a new season. And, you know, they won two cups there in Pittsburgh, so, you know, he'll get another job if he wants it almost immediately. It's surprising to see it end the way that it did and the timing of when it did. But, you know, Penguins, next man up mentality. Penguins are going to either have to roll with the interim GM or hire a new one mid-season. That's just the way the game rolls. So, speaking of the Pens, unfortunately, their games have been postponed due to COVID, along with a few others. The New Jersey Devils, the Sabres, and the Islanders. They are all supposed to play tonight, Tuesday night. That's when the recording's done. And, well, didn't happen. It's just going to be an ongoing story throughout the league. Don't expect it to stop anytime soon. It happened in the MLB. They had a game postponed every damn day, it seemed like, over the summer. Maybe they'd have a week or two stretch with no positives, no issues to deal with. But at the end of the day, we're just going to have to keep dealing with it. Roll. Keep it rolling. That's all we can do. And, yeah, hopefully there's not too many more of these. Honestly, I wouldn't have minded it. The Avalanche kind of, like, fibbed it a little bit. Get a couple of days off with all the mounting injuries they get. Say, hey, this isn't a lower body injury. He's got the sniffles. Half the team's got the sniffles. In reality, it's nothing. But in all seriousness, yeah, the Avs are dealing with an absolutely unreal number of injuries. Right now we got Nathan MacKinnon week to week. The first time all season that the Avalanche are on national television and the people don't get to watch Nate Dogg. How unfair is that? Ah, that's sad. I mean, they still get to watch Nate, you know, Cale Makar, Mikko Rantanen, Bowen Byram, who's been a stud. And yeah, but no Nate Dogg, what a shame. Davon Taves, also out for the Avalanche, week to week. Eric Johnson, week to week. Pierre-Edward Belmar, week to week. Pavel Francouz, still hasn't played a game yet this year, week to week. And Matt Calvert, week to week. Essentially, the Avs are just going to say, everyone's week to week. We don't know what's going on. They might be, they're hurt. We're just going to say week to week. They could be back. Who knows? Hopefully, that week to week for Nathan MacKinnon is more like a couple of days. Would be pretty sweet to see him playing February 6th against the Blues. That would be ideal to get him back as soon as possible. But, you know, week to week. That's all you can do. And you just wait and see when they come back. And hopefully the Avs can just overcome that. At this rate, man, they're going to have to be looking to see when the Boston College season ends, because they're going to be looking for another center real quick. Alex Newhook might be getting called up too. Going to have all the rookies in the pipeline that should be waiting another year or two to develop playing early, because half the team is on IR, it seems like. Also, I think this might be my fault. I have talked and I have spoken that the only thing that derails the Avalanche this year and makes things more difficult for their ultra-talented team was injuries. I mean, yeah, I mushed it. I think I did. I mean, any team can say that exact same statement and be like, oh, well, you know, the Canes could make a run and maybe win the Stanley Cup as long as they stay healthy and don't get injured. Like, any team can really realistically say it. But man, I was spouting that horn. I was tooting that horn so hard. Only way that the Avs don't make the playoffs or don't look amazing all year is if they get injuries and are injury plagued and we're like 10 games in. That's right where we're at. Hopefully as pick it all up. I mean, there's still what, six? There's 6-3-1. I think that puts them tied for first. You know, it's good hockey. I don't think any team at this point is going to be able to run away with like the President's Cup or run away with their division. I mean, even every single team is close. Said it last week, and it continues to ring true every single week. At this point, I think we can start getting into the power rankings of it all. Leafs look good. Leafs look really good. Canadians also look very good. I did pick the Canadians or the Canucks to be my dark horse of the North Division. I might have to put on the dunce bucket for that one because they are tough. Their defense is spotty. They give up so many high danger chances that, you know, it doesn't matter how good Thatcher Demko's been or looked in the bubble. He can't keep up with that many high danger chances. Like, it's not good. But I think the Canadians, they could very well not pull away with the division, but they are definitely going to be challenging the Leafs all year with that division. As for the West, it's definitely a three horses in that race. That's what I'm trying to get at. Three horses in the race on that Western Conference. I mean, you got the Avs, the Blues, and the Knights. Still think the Knights are getting a little bit of luck. They also have missed a couple of games. They should be getting back into action here soon. Don't know how many. Honestly, at this point, any single team that has like a couple of COVID cases, not like actual cases, but like close contact, anything, the game's getting postponed. And I think that's not a bad thing. I mean, when you have so many games in a row, you kind of have to make sure someone that you're being as cautious as you possibly can. So the Knights they'll be back in action here soon. They've been great. Blues have been good. Avs, obviously, wagon. Then out in the Central side, the Stars have finally gotten really rolling. They've played some more games. They're making up ground in that sense, you know, because they missed like the first five games of the season. So they essentially were behind 10 points to start. Once they catch up on the amount of games they played with everyone else, I think they'll be up in the top with the Lightning in that Central division. I mean, the Blackhawks are still not looking great. They're looking better than the Sens, though. The Sens won their first game of the year and haven't won a game since outright. I think they're like 1-7-1. It's ouchy. It's been bad. It's been real bad for those guys. Then out in the, I think they still are calling it the Metropolitan. If not, it's the East. It doesn't matter what the name of the division is. I still think the Flyers are taking that. They're still looking good. And Boston's starting to, they're picking it back up. Pasta's coming in. They're winning some more games. Capitals are looking good. Ovi's back. And also, congratulations. Ovi is now 7th overall on the all-time goal scoring list. Just beautiful. Felt like all last year, every single episode, it was just an update on where's Ovi at. It was Ovi watch all year, and we're back on it again. Goal 708, congrats, Ovi. And then also, actually, on the while we're on that train of thought, let's go with the congratulations to Shea Weber. The Canadiens played 1,000 games tonight. That's got to be so bittersweet to play 1,000 games and have no fans in the stand. That's got to... What a bummer. I mean, there was some great... His kids were able to put some signs up in the stadium that he could see, so that was kind of cool. But to have no fans there cheering you on as you play your 1,000th NHL game, what a bummer. But we'll make sure to acknowledge it here at Frosty Talks for you, Shea Weber. like you're listening. Maybe. Who knows? You never know. But out, back out into the mind's always everywhere. It's chaos. It's chaos. Just like the NHL, my mind is right where that is. Now, back out into the Metro Division, Flyers winning that one. Or the Capitals. I think they will probably end up with a... That will probably end up being those two. That'll be the top two. Boston's definitely going to put up a fight just because Tuukka Rask is so damn good. Like, he will steal... He's going to steal games, and that perfection line is going to drag them into potentially... Still going to say I don't think they make it, but potentially into the playoffs by the skin of their teeth. Like, they will... That perfection line is the reason for their success, and it's not their depth. Any injuries to that line, it's going to derail them. Unless they can really start picking up the scoring depth. But they haven't so far, so we'll see. And yeah, that's kind of where we're at in the NHL. We'll get more and more as it comes along. You'll have to, once again, follow FrostyTalks.com for more blogs on that, but... For now, let's head up into the NFL. And it's the Super Bowl. You gotta cherish it because it's the last football we have for far too long. It's honestly, play the violin, make it sad. It's a bummer, but we're gonna celebrate it because it's the Super Bowl. It's the greatest, hyped, best sporting event you can imagine. It's everything. And honestly, great matchup. Even as a Donkeys fan, I have to admit this is a pretty good matchup, even though the Chiefs have a good chance of winning this one. But Tampa Bay, the Buccaneers, I mean, they look... The Bradyneers, nah, doesn't work. Doesn't work. They also, you know, I mean, Brady's been here 9 times before. What a cocky move, by the way, on him. He's in his Zoom meetings for the NFL Super Bowl Media Day. And he just starts it off by saying, yeah, this one's a little different from the other 9 times. It's like, get out of here, yeah. What? My God. Yeah, we get it. You're good at what you do. Cocky son of a bitch. It's absolutely insanity. Like 18% of Super Bowls have featured that man. Unbelievable. Now, like I said, even as a Donkeys fan, I can admit this is a good matchup. You have two unbelievably high-flying offenses with Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Gronk, Leonard Fournette, playoff Lenny on the Buccaneers side. Antonio Brown, he's questionable right now, but honestly, it's the Super Bowl. I think he plays. It's the Super Bowl. You're going to do everything in your power to play, I would imagine. And then you also got Cameron Brate over there. I mean, come on. Great high-flying offense. And then everyone knows over on the Chiefs side, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelsey, you got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Le'Veon Bell, you got Patrick Mahomes. Now, there's like all the narrative on it is so much fun. Now, I think if Tom Brady and the Buccaneers win this over Patrick Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes will have to win at least one more Super Bowl than Tom Brady to be considered the true GOAT. You know, like, if he ever wants to take the GOAT throne from Tom Brady, Mahomes will have to win one more than Brady if Brady beats Mahomes this weekend. Brady beats Mahomes this weekend. Now, I think if Mahomes beats Brady this weekend, Brady's obviously still the GOAT. This is it almost feels like the changing of the guard that, hey, maybe Brady can't do this without an amazing defense with him too. He can get you all the way to the Super Bowl, but maybe he needs a little help, you know? Or maybe Father Time really is undefeated. Who knows? But if Brady wins, yeah, Mahomes is going to have to... He's the unequivocal GOAT. No one will ever be able to touch that unless Mahomes can win one more than Brady. Now, Mahomes wins this weekend. Mahomes and the Chiefs wins this weekend. One, I have to live another year in suffering and pain as I am reminded that my the division rival of my favorite team is so much better. And I see it every week. But when they win the Super Bowl, it's so much worse. So much worse. That will be the number one worst thing of that all. It's the Chiefs just winning. I can't... Any graphic that says, oh, the state of Colorado is rooting for the Chiefs is lying to you. It's lying right in your face. Now, Mahomes wins this Super Bowl. Got to be reminded that the Chiefs, obviously, are better than the Broncos, again. But it doesn't take away Brady's GOAT status. And then it officially kicks off the dynasty of the Chiefs. And I think you have to win 3 in 5 years to be considered a dynasty. I think that's like... I mean, obviously, like, 3 in a row, that's like the super dynasty. That's like a diamond-like status dynasty. But, like, what the Patriots did, like, the 3 and 5 dynasty. Like, that's an unbelievable run. That's crazy. But if they win 2 in a row, and then they take, like, 4 years off going to the Super Bowl or winning the Super Bowl, and then they win one on the 5th year after, not a dynasty. But if they win this weekend, you know what? We can start the talks. But right now, no dynasty. No dynasty for the Chiefs. Now, personally... my favorite part about the Super Bowl is, especially since I know I won't see the glory of the Super Bowl for the Broncos in some time, unless they pull off some miraculous trade for Deshaun Watson. I mean, maybe. Is the gambling of it. It's so much. There's everything. Everything. You can bet on the coin flip. You can bet on the length of the national anthem. And now it's legal in Colorado. So, like, go crazy with it. Personally, I always like to take the over on the national anthem length, and I think this year is the best one to do it because I think every singer is going to be like, well, there's no one here. I need to make this as much of a performance as I can for the people at home. And that equals crazy length for every single song. Now, Tails never fails, so obviously taking Tails on the heads. On the heads versus tails for the Super Bowl. That's just a must. Now, when it comes to the actual game, I'm taking the Buccaneers. And it took me a legitimate week to figure that one out, but I can't bet on the Chiefs and have that lose money and be pissed about how the Chiefs lost me money. Now, in that sense. Now, I go over to the Buccaneers side. I'm betting on them. I'm like, well, I learned my lesson last time. You can't bet against the GOAT, Tom Brady. And I just can't see. Oh, gosh. Am I about to talk myself into the Chiefs? No. Buccaneers. We're on the Buccaneers. You can't bet against the GOAT. And honestly, when the money line's higher, they're the underdog in this one. And anytime Brady's the underdog, like, he almost always wins. He's like something nuts, like 18-2 as an underdog. So yeah, I kind of like that odd there. Now, obviously, that was as a Patriot, but, you know, I mean, we're taking the Buccaneers on this one because of it's Tom Brady. I mean, we could have the changing the guard, but it's Tom Brady. We're taking Tom. Because, honestly, if I bet on the Buccaneers and the Chiefs win this one, I'm going to be miserable double. I'm going to be double miserable no matter what. The only way is if I win money on it. Because if I bet on the Buccaneers, the Chiefs win, I lose money, and I have to suffer with the Chiefs winning a Super Bowl. If I bet on the Chiefs and then the Chiefs lose, I have to live with the fact that I bet on the biggest rival of the Broncos and I lost money and Tom Brady beat me again. So yeah, there it is. That's the reason. I can't lose to Tom Brady again. I have to bet on him. We're taking the Buccaneers. Now, outside of that, it's the last football game of the year. So you have to take the over. Have to. We're rooting for points. Why would we be sitting in the at home last football game of the season? We're not going to get it for like 8 months. And we're going to say, hey, I want the under. Like, I want to see less points. Like, no, we're going to sit back, piss drunk off of whatever you want, and we're going to be screaming to the heavens for more points. Have to take the over in the last game. Always take it in every Super Bowl. Obviously, you know, that Patriots-Rams one bit me in the ass. But come on. Taking the over. Don't care what it is. Could be 50. I mean, if it's 75, I'm taking the under because I could still root for points and be safe. But it's not 75. I'm just taking the over. Now, I also do a couple of props on it. Personally, I always love the first touchdown score. And usually you can do first touchdown score per team with the Super Bowl. And last year, when it was the 49ers and the Chiefs, I nailed it for both of them. I got Mahomes right, and I got Juszczyk right. I still remember that up in this brain. Ironically, I don't remember much, but I remember that. Now, I really want to take Mahomes, but I can't. Like, there's no way he's the first touchdown scorer for the Chiefs 2 Super Bowls in a row. No. As much as I love absolutely nuts, high odds that pay out like a dollar, like you bet in a dollar, you get 150 back. There's no way, right? There's just no way that he does it twice in a row. So it's probably going to be Kelce, which means I'm taking Kelce. Like, yeah, that's a safe one. That one feels good. On the Buccaneers side, couldn't decide. Chris Godwin, Gronk, like Gronk and Brady got that connection of Super Bowls past. And one name popped into my head, like a neon sign. Playoff Lenny. I think it's Leonard. It's got to be Leonard Fournette. I'm thinking the Chiefs are going to be very adamant about stopping Tom Brady in his passing game. And Leonard Fournette says that Tom Brady trusts him. I think that means that we're going to see a little bit more of him maybe in the pass game, blocking. But honestly, I just think playoff Lenny, man. 7 touchdowns, 6 games. I think he gets that first one running right up the gut on like the 1 yard or 2 yard line for the Buccaneers. Like, it's not going to be a safe bet odds-wise, but it feels safe in my brain. Now, for other prop bets, I really want to know, can I bet on if Fauci's going to be there or not? Because I want to say yes. I feel like you would. I know I can't. But can I? Also, I'm definitely taking the over of 50 mentions of fans in the stands. That's a go-to. There's no way that does not hit. I mean, they're letting in, like, what, 25,000 fans that were already vaccinated or something like that, local healthcare workers and everything. Yeah, that's awesome. Great. Guaranteed that is going to be mentioned like 50 plus times, like once a quarter. Like, it's going to be drilled into your skull. Look how cool the fans are. Look how amazing it is what happens when you get vaccinated. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Take the over 50 mentions of look at all these fans in the stands. Absolutely love it. Outside of the NFL the Super Bowl, there was a trade. I got my wish. The Donkeys didn't do it. They did not go get Matt Stafford. Oh, thank God. So instead, the Rams trade Jared Goff 2 first round picks to the Lions for Matthew Stafford. Wow. I mean, okay, let's look at this. On the Rams side, Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford together are going to be awesome. Plus, maybe Matthew Stafford and Clayton Kershaw can go in together on a house, and I bet the content they make from that would be lit. Because did you know that they play baseball together. Did you know that? Because I never have heard an announcer mention that Clayton Kershaw and Matthew Stafford played baseball together. Never. It's unbelievable. Can't. I hope they go in and make like a real world house of those two. Maybe they combine the Rams and the Dodgers into that team, and Matthew Stafford and Clayton Kershaw can like co-captain or like can captain dodgeball teams or something. Be pretty cool. Now that's the benefits for the Rams on that side. Mostly it's the fact that Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford are going to look really good together. That's going to be an electric offense. That's the benefits on their side. Negatives, they haven't picked in the first round since 2016 when they took Jared Goff. So I think you need first round picks to like be good in the NFL. So I don't know what McVay and the GM over there are doing, getting rid of them like literally every single chance they get. But I mean, yeah, they're doing it. We'll see how that goes out. But they're not picking a, they're not gonna take a player in the first round until like, I think it's like 2024 or 2026. Like, that's insane. I can't believe that. Now, on the Lions side, their benefit. They get two more first-round picks. They have four in the next 2 years. That's a great rebuild. And, I mean, they Jared Goff, they're not going to just not have a quarterback now. You know, they lost Matthew Stafford, who blatantly said he did not want to be there anymore. And now they have Jared Goff, who the first thing he says is, yeah, I'm pretty stoked to be somewhere where I'm wanted. That's going to be great. Now, Goff is not going to fit in Detroit. He's going to have to like grow out his hair, maybe put that thing in a mullet. I don't know what. But he screams Cali bro. And that is not that that don't fit in Chicago. He's going to have to grow a mullet. He screams Cali bro. There's no way the Tesla is going to make it up into Detroit, and it's definitely not surviving the snow. He's going to have to figure that one out. That's a negative side, and his massive contract. That's a negative side for the Rams or for the Lions. Now on the Lions, positives, I mean, two first round picks, four in 2 years, that's great. The rebuild's looking good. And hell, Dan Campbell might end up with a potentially prophetic opening speech for his hire. We're going to claw up and bite you from at the kneecaps. That might actually, that could happen. I mean, they're definitely down after last season. And they might be technically a little bit farther down now with Matthew Stafford out. So, yeah, maybe with the amount of first-round picks they got, maybe they actually do claw back up and bite your kneecap off. It's gonna be interesting. Now, we don't get into this, but speaking and get to this side of sports very often, the baseball world. But we're speaking of trades in the NFL that were just wild blockbuster trades. I can't. As a Colorado sports fan, not speak my thought on the Rockies trade. The fuck? How is Jeff Bridges still employed by that spineless nut, Dick Monfort? I can't believe this. Trading away Nolan Arenado, literally the only reason to care about this franchise, the only reason to go to a Colorado Rockies game, unless you were willing to just buy a rock pile ticket, stand at the bar, not watch the game, and take pictures of the sunset. That was more entertaining than watching the product that the Rockies and Dick Monfort and Jeff Bredich put out onto the court, or not the court, onto the pitch, whatever it's called, the diamond. I'm pissed. Homegrown talent traded away for peanuts, and we had to pay the Cardinals to do it. We gave up Nolan Arenado, the best thing to happen to this franchise in years, maybe ever. And we paid the Cardinals $50 million to do it. And we're going to get an okay starting pitcher back and like four prospects, none of them in the top five, mind you. Is this what a Harvard sports education gets you, Jeff Prittich? This is what it gets you? You once said that you were above media criticism because, oh, well, 99% of them have never led anything in their life. Well, you know what? 99% of us also haven't pissed off their star player and then gave another team $50 million to take him away from us. Oh, my God. This is... In a press conference, Dick Monfort then said, I have not thought about firing Jeff. Thought about firing myself. Both of you need to go if that's the case. If you are going to sit around and cry poor about, oh, we can't pay our players. Oh, we have to let DJ LeMahieu walk because we can't afford to pay him. And then you go and sign a different pitcher at the same price as LeMahieu. And then you also trade away Nolan Arenado for $50 million to get him out. You paid Nolan Arenado $50 million to fuck off. I can't believe Jeff Prittich is still employed at this point. It's insanity. Dick Monfort does not deserve a dime of Rockies fans' monies at this point. It's in 30 years, we have done, they've done nothing. They've done nothing at all, the Rockies. They turned one of the most rabid fan bases into a bunch of just depressed alcoholics that show up to the game to take pictures of the sunset and black out on the rooftop bar. Half the people there aren't even watching the game because everyone knows the product of the Colorado Rockies is the stadium and the beer they sell and not the team they put out on the fucking diamond. It's insanity. And I can't keep doing it. There's no way. Someone's going to try to spin it into something good. And they're going to say, oh, well, they had to get rid of some money. They had to clear the books so they could try and sign Trevor Story next year. I call bullshit. Because if there's any, there's no reason. Absolutely no reason for Trevor Story to sign back with the Colorado Rockies as long as Jeff Prittich and Dick Monfort are still the owners, or the GM and owner, respectively. Because he just watched someone that he highly respects and has worked with in the organization for years, in Nolan Arenado, get completely mistreated by the GM and then traded for nothing. I'm not signing anything with the Colorado Rockies. If I'm Trevor Story, they could throw any price tag they want at me. And I'm saying, no, you don't give a damn about winning, and I would like to win games. It's sad to see. The Rockies are they're a farm team for bigger market teams, except the Cardinals aren't even a bigger market team. We're a farm team for other teams and owners that actually give a damn about winning. The product that the Rockies put out there just clearly isn't what is on the diamond. It's not the players, and it's not winning. The product is the beer and the vodka and the experience of the stadium. It will not ever be about winning as long as Dick Monfort is still in charge. He needs to go. And you know what? I hope that he sells, and I really hope that whoever buys the team off of his lazy bum ass actually keeps it in Colorado, because the fan base and the people here deserve a baseball team. But if it goes, you know, it can't suck any more happiness out of my soul. The Rockies leave, you know, maybe I can't go be a Mets fan because Steve Cohen sides with hedge fundies and Robin Hood and fuck that. So that there goes my outlet there. I guess I just drop baseball if the Rockies leave at that point. It's sad. Sad. The end of an era. No more Nolan being Nolan. We're the Colorado Rockies. Ugh. Like I said, don't do baseball all that often, but when it's something as just tragic as Arenado being traded away for peanuts, I had to get the rant out. I had it. We're good. We're just never going to give Dick Monfort a dime again. Until Jeff Bridich is fired. In fact, it's time to start the movement, because on the website, go to frostytalks.com, buy the Fire Jeff Bridich t-shirts. It's time. Get the man gone. And I'll wrap it up. Last bit of the show. Dylan Ryan's Gambling Corner. I said it on the last one, but it's really hard. Obviously, I made a bunch of picks for the Super Bowl already, so I'm not going to rehash those. But like I said, it's very hard to do a gambling corner on the podcast for the NHL. The lines are only released like the night before. There's a game literally every day. So if you want to stay up on all the best gambling picks with the NHL, just go to frostytalks.com. Dylan Ryan's Gambling Corner is updated and thrown up there on a fairly, like, damn near daily basis. There's not going to be one for tomorrow because you're going to be listening to the picks right here. And also, there's only two games, so, you know, that's it. But you can also find the picks on Twitter at Dylan Ryan FT, DylanRyanFT. And if that's your stick, you can also like us on Facebook. We're there too. Now for the picks. There's only two games tomorrow, and honestly, there was only really one thing that I was like, ooh, that's a beauty of a bet. That's a good one. I like this. And it's the Flyers money line. It's plus 115. I believe they're playing the Bruins. I mean, Flyers have looked solid. Kadahat, he's been a phenom of a young goaltender. Tuukka Rask, obviously great. I would throw the under in there, but as of recording, the under was 5 goals, and I refuse to bet goal, like, over unders where it's not a half. You know, I'll bet 5.5. I'll bet 6.5. Hell, I'll bet 7.5. But I will not go in and bet 4. I will not bet 5. I will not bet an even number. It's got to be a half number. So if that changes, yeah, I'm going to throw the under on the Flyers-Bruins of 5.5. I think that's a pretty safe one. But in reality, I'm taking the Flyers at plus 115. And that's the show. That's Dylan Ryan's Gambling Corner, and that's Frosty Talks. Thank you all for tuning in. Like I said, go follow on Twitter for live updates and just send in DMs, recommendations of the show, stories you want covered, what more you want from the show, and just to follow and get updates on the Frosty Talks website. And most importantly, just have a great fucking day. Go ass, go Donkeys.
This is for my Instagram models. Eating up the cake, watch it go right to your bottom. You should get a new job, holla at McDonald's. Listen when I speak, baby, you can write a novel. The way I spit flows, put you in a pickle, cause I did it with no label. Got a crystal ball, Bonnie Luck, cause I already got them pesos. The symbol, treat them like King Coles, cause they only tryna copy me. Last I checked, you ain't some handsome devil with a college degree. But you think you can have your cake and eat it too? Well, tell me why these pretty women never leave with you. I even asked your mom and pops and they like, we approve. That's why your girlfriend's screaming out my name. I call that Beetlejuice, cause I'm the one she choosing as her prep. France, Minnesota women show me love like I was Kevin. Pull up in your city, I can swear that's no exception. Get up in my Xbox, cause I'm well connected. I know some people that they used to hate. 20 women in my trailer like I'm moving weight.
Begin to wonder why we celebrate. Hold up, you ain't invited, homie. You can bake a cake, 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 cake. Homie, you can bake a cake, 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 cake. Yeah, they wanna talk, but I don't wanna conversate. Watch these women serve the pussy like it's on a plate. Gordon Ramsay though, watch me grab a fancy hoe. Just because we eatin', that don't mean that we be on a date. Plus some more Seth Cohen than you've ever been. That's why I take all these women down like medicine. You be popping pills just to get some extra thrills. I said hell no to my lawyer, you can throw out all my deals. I'm like Bing Rames, when I bring game. Put a bunch of cash under the table and caught me a big name. In a big house, in a show on basic cable. Probably be hosting some comedy roast and just talking my shit cause it's very explosive. They wanna control this like remote controllers. I pull out the guns that'll get me a holster. I'm trying to coast along the coast, caught me in Aston. Nah, I ain't the son of Christ, but I got passion. You offended? Whoops, I ain't even asking. I'm too busy fucking these older women like a bastard. Bang! I know some people that they used to hate. 20 women in my trailer like I'm moving weight. Yeah, no wonder why we celebrate. Hold up, you ain't invited, homie, you can bake a cake. Cake, 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 cake. Homie, you can bake a cake. Cake, 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 cake.
I'm hoodie, I'm hoodie. I'm hoodie, I'm hoodie, bitch. I'm hoodie, I'm hoodie. I'm hoodie, I'm hoodie, bitch.